Does philosophy still matter in the age of COVID-19? Does it have anything to offer in this weird life of quarantine, remote work, and a looming killer virus? Well, John Kagg believes philosophy matters more than ever right now. He's an academic who writes popular books about the kinds of questions you ask yourself at 4 in the morning. What's the meaning of my life? Do I have a purpose? Kagg has one go-to philosopher for the pandemic. Steve Paulson caught up with him to talk about his new book, Sick Souls, Healthy Minds, How William James Can Save Your Life.
This pandemic is so strange, so surreal, and my sense is that just a whole lot of people, including me, are kind of unmoored right now. And I think one of the effects of that is we're sort of asking the big questions, the big existential questions about how do we try to make sense of all of this? How do we try to find some meaning in this strange world? Is that your sense as well?
I think so, Steve. I mean, I think that when people are in crisis or when people are deeply unsettled, they tend to ask existential questions. So questions like, why am I here? Where did I come from? Is life worth living? How do I go on in a meaningful way? And I think that times like the one that we're in right now give us a chance to ask these questions in a new way. That might be the silver lining to all of this.
So what are some of those big questions that you are asking right now, personally, for you?
I think one of the things that William James, the 19th century American philosopher William James, he asked the question, is life worth living? And these days, that's a question that many of us sort of cooped up at home or in isolation, self-imposed isolation, ask. And philosophers have made it their business to answer that question in all sorts of unique ways, most of them in sort of hidebound, hard ways. Yes, life is worth living because, you know, God made us this way or because we're something special in the universe. But I think in times of hardship, these answers don't really hold that much weight.
Yeah, because some of the old questions just with the straight religious answer, oh, because God intended it this way, that doesn't hold up for a lot of people these days.
No, I think in our secular culture, we need a better answer. And I think William James gives it to us. He says, is life worth living? He says, maybe. It depends on the liver. That's a quote. Maybe. It depends on the liver.
Wow, that is tough love. I mean, maybe? Because just about everyone else would say, of course it's worth living. He's asking us to dig deep.
He is. What I think is so brilliant about James's answer is this, that when you ask the question, is life worth living? And if you're on the brink of saying no sometimes, you don't want a straight yes. You want a maybe. It depends. And it depends on you. You don't have easy answers. James doesn't accept easy answers to this question.
To bring this conversation back to the pandemic that we're living through right now, do you think there are different questions that we're asking given this weird existence that we're in at the moment?
Absolutely. I think so. The question of what is meaningful work and what is meaningful activity, that's one question that I think is pressing on us currently. Do I like myself in social isolation? Can I handle being with myself more than I usually am? The typical distractions that we have in life are no longer available to us. Do I like the household I'm in? Do I like the people that I'm currently surrounded in? What makes me anxious? What makes me scared?
And you kind of need to confront this head on in some ways. I mean, if you don't really like the people you're living with, you're kind of stuck with them right now and you have to deal with it. You can't run away now.
But to get back to philosophy, the ancient Greek philosopher Socrates says that philosophy is preparation for death. And I think that one of the things that this pandemic has forced us to face is our own mortality. But what I think that this moment, historical moment, gives us is the chance to ask, how can I live a more vibrant life before I go? Whether it's with coronavirus or old age, hopefully old age.
Well, and I know these questions about mortality hit really close to home for you right now, not because of the pandemic specifically. I mean, some of them because of that, but you just had bypass heart surgery a few weeks ago, right?
I did. I'm 40 years old and I'm a runner and I was running on the treadmill and I had a massive heart attack and A month ago, I had bypass surgery, which is not what I was expecting for my 41st year.
Yeah, no kidding.
But one thing that I've thought quite a bit about is the way that philosophy can give us strength through times of hardship.
I bet. So you've been talking about William James. We should just give a little thumbnail sketch of who this guy was. Now, he lived most of his life in the 19th century. Tell me just a bit about his background.
Sure. So James was born in 1844 and he died in 1910. He lived a life of privilege. I mean, his brother was Henry James.
Henry James, the famous novelist, yes.
They were two prodigies. And he said, curiously, he said, "Take the happiest man, the one most envied by the world, and in 9 cases out of 10, his innermost consciousness is one of failure." Now, James, through his 20s and 30s, struggled with depression, very serious anxiety and depression. And you can understand his philosophy and his psychology as a response to this psychic turmoil.
And I know that these questions really hit home for him personally, because from all outward appearances, he had this extraordinary successful life. A star professor at Harvard, admired intellectual, came from an incredible family and a life of privilege, and yet he really struggled to find happiness and meaning, and he had tremendous doubts about that.
And I think that during these times, especially when many people who maybe aren't familiar with depression are going through their first bouts, that James helps us to move from being sick-souled, that's his phrase, to being healthy-minded.
What did he mean by that phrase, sick-souled?
It comes from the varieties of religious experience. He says that there are two types of people. The sick-souled are those who are sort of predisposed to pessimism. They see the world as something alien, foreign, and in many cases antagonistic. The healthy-minded, on the other hand, see the universe as personal, as well-fitted to them, and as, in a lot of ways, benevolent.
Well, there's another thing that he said, I know, as well, that sometimes it's healthy to be sick, which is such a profound thing to say, such a counterintuitive thing to say, and there's a personal angle to that, and there's also kind of a societal response. To me, that really resonates at this particular moment.
"'Tis healthy to be sick" is an exact quote from Henry David Thoreau, and James would agree with Thoreau that convalescence gives us the chance to think through life in new ways. I'm also thinking about the 19th century philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who says, "I must be thankful for the sickest days of my life, for they have led me to become who I am."
Well, John, it's worth pointing out that you have not only written 2 books now about William James, you've also written a book about Nietzsche, who are, you know, pretty dark thinkers in a lot of ways. Not totally, but they're looking for ways to help us find our way out of the abyss at times. But boy, talk about your touchstones. Why are you drawn to these particular thinkers?
Well, just to lay the cards on the table, I'm sick-souled. So I'm drawn to thinkers who might give a little bit of insight about how to deal with psychic turbulence. I also think that philosophers can provide what Arthur Schopenhauer, a 19th century thinker, would call companions in misery. When you feel so all alone, sometimes it's good to pick up a book and read about somebody else who feels all alone.
So I want to come back to that idea of soul sickness that you were talking about earlier, and that in some cases, it's healthy to be sick. I'm wondering what that suggests to you for us now. Obviously, no one wants anyone to get COVID-19. We're not talking about that, but we're talking about something else.
So I think that what we need, what we could understand, is that when we are sick, very sick, we have the ability to see what is important about life. As we approach death or as we flirt with death, we have the ability to see very clearly what matters, because time is of the essence. And we can actually see that we want to talk to people in more careful ways. We want to reach out as best we can to loved ones. We want to do things before we go. And I think that that's a wake-up call that oftentimes modern society, in our desperate attempt to remain healthy, often overlooks. Being sick allows us to slow down long enough, sometimes, to actually see what matters.
That's philosopher John Kagg, talking with Steve Paulson about his book, Sick Souls, Healthy Minds, How William James Can Save Your Life.